I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I don't want to get too excited here or too takey, Mike, but I'm going to fire this one out here to start, all right?
Hit me.
Let's go. Did we just witness a legitimately good, legitimately exciting hockey game? Tell me I'm not crazy.
You're not crazy. That was for sure the most entertaining game of the playoffs. That was so much fun. It was lead changes galore. There was drama, intrigue. It's funny how the first entertaining game of not the playoffs, but like the series comes
the
when
series
the
for sure.
Yeah, for the series for sure. When it comes when the goaltending was at its worst. And I think there's a correlation.
Yeah, those things are always loosely connected, aren't they?
Yeah, I think there's a correlation between those two, for sure.
Well, I guess we should let, if you're listening to the show, I'm sure you know the score of the game, but it was a 5-4 final. The Tampa Bay Lightning move to within one game of the Stanley Cup they were always supposed to win, right? This elusive Stanley Cup for them in the last decade. Well, it looks like they're finally going to get it after a 5-4 victory. Kevin Shattenkirk in overtime. An exchange of penalties early in overtime. The officials clearly didn't want us to go too long with game 5 less than 24 hours away. But it was exciting while it lasted. It seemed, I don't know if the writing was on the wall in this game because Dallas certainly had their moments and certainly had their chances in overtime. But that Tampa Bay power play is just clicking. And, it didn't happen right away in that penalty. But Kevin Shattenkirk scoring from his spot, obviously not even the guy who was supposed to score, but it just seemed like that goal was coming because Tampa Bay's power play has been just so good.
Isn't it funny how at the start of the series, that was the biggest conversation was where did Tampa's power play go? They're totally stagnant. They need to re-energize this. And now it's like the story of their entire success. It's, we're seeing articles come out. No, Dallas has no answer for Tampa's power play. And it's the reason why they won this game and why they're so close to, Stanley Cup glory. It's really, I think it's just funny, like how much something can change and sway in a series like that. Cause that's what we were talking about after game one was Tampa looks toothless with their power play. What happened? And now it's probably the biggest driver of them going one day, or I guess being one game away from hoisting the cup.
Yeah. It's another thing that's loosely associated with one another is the fact that Tampa Bay's power play now has 6 goals in 4 games in the series, but that's also in part to do with the fact that Anton Khudobin just hasn't been the same goaltender. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Braden Point's one. Yeah. He could have tracked it better probably. And Kevin Shattenkirk's one. Yeah. He probably could have had that one as well. So it's not, I don't think it's all Anton Khudobin's fault in these moments, in these instances. But Tampa Bay's power play is getting its looks and Anton Khudobin isn't the same guy right now. Sub 900 save percentage in this series, well below that, in fact. And he just, the magic, I mean, we talked about the magic running out a little bit on this team. It seems like Khudobin has hit a bit of a wall here. And now he's going to have to go in another back-to-back. We've seen him try to preserve energy for him before. Like, this is just not a good situation for Dallas, who has to digest this, turn it around, get a way better performance for their goaltender win, and just stop all the momentum that Tampa Bay's got going on right now. It's just not a good situation at all. And it starts, I think, in this series with poor goaltending.
Yeah, he has an 8.63 save percentage his last 3 games. It's such a stark contrast from this unstoppable wall of man, essentially, that was in net the prior entire playoffs. It's coming at the worst possible time. And it's definitely, like, when you look at his workload throughout his entire career, like he's never played more than, 40 games or so, 45 games. And now he's being asked to shoulder this load and play a starter's entire workload. And now he's going to play on a back-to-back. Like it's, this is just, at least first of all, the fact that we're having a back-to-back in the Stanley Cup final is ridiculous. Like, it's just, and this is something that if I was Dallas, I know both teams have to deal with this, but if I was Dallas, I'd be pretty pissed about that. But yeah, I think right now, as we're just seeing a goaltender who hasn't, who's never played this amount of hockey in such a short amount of time, and we're just seeing the wear and tear on him. And look, he's been phenomenal in previous series. He was the story of the Stars until, you know, I guess Joel Kiviranta stole everyone's hearts for a brief moment there. And they'll always have that "we're not going home" video, but it just looks like he's cooked. Like you see, like you said, the magic looks like it's worn off. This was a team that was feeling themselves. This is a team that was just radiating this underdog, scrappy bunch of misfits kind of energy with the Kiviranta magic and with these guys, with Joel Hanley scoring his first NHL goal and stuff. Like, it looked like these guys, they had all those stories and all those, you know, all those Rudy moments, like we were talking about last podcast, putting it together. And now they just don't have it. They just look like a team that when that goal came in, was scored, and obviously you're going to be disappointed, but the body language on every player on the ice, Jamie Oleksiak specifically, was just hunched over completely. It just looks like they're cooked. I hate to say it.
Yeah, you mentioned that they'd be pissed about, you know, the situation that they got themselves in, and the power play that left them in overtime. But I think, like, there's so many things for them to be angry about right now. And the fact that they have to, you know, I guess what you said was they'd be angry about going on a back-to-back, but they also have to be mad at the situation because, you know, obviously Jamie Benn, like, that was a penalty. If that's the second period of a regular season game in February, that's a penalty every time. And it might not be a penalty in overtime in the Stanley Cup playoffs very often, but you got to read the situation. I mean, Dallas just had a power play themselves on not a questionable call, it was a legitimate call, but right before the end of regulation, they a clear blown call on, or it's a blown call in the case that it was added on to the list of infractions, with Braden Point getting an embellishment call for what was a clear hook or spear or whatever you want to call it from Corey Perry.
I want to get on that.
Skating
in a bit.
Hitched on to Braden Point, and the referees decided that, you know, they were going to send them both to the box. Then they probably had to stew on that for the next 15 minutes during the intermission. Then they put Dallas on the power play. Of course, they're going to take the next opportunity to try and even up things, because as much as they don't want to be part of the story, they had already made themselves part of the story. So the officials got themselves in that situation. And Ben, there's a time and place to take liberties, and there's a time and place to play it safe. He should not have been just slew-footing guys at that point in the game. So they can be mad all they want about that, but that was a dumb decision by Jamie Benn.
There was a great – so after the game, Joe Pavelski said, oh, you know, Ben kind of breathed on him, and he fell down and got a penalty. And there was – I think it was Scouting the Refs on Twitter said, it's fascinating how Jamie Benn breathes with his left arm because he just completely stiff-armed the guy in the middle. I want to talk about that Braden Point penalty for embellishment for a second, because he didn't just get hooked or slashed in, you know, in the thigh or anything like that. He got hooked or slashed in probably the most sensitive place on the male human body. And when that happens, you know, you being there, who hasn't been there? You tend to maybe fall to your knees and nothing makes sense around you. The world is spinning. You want to throw up, basically. I'm shocked that he was okay and he responded. And he gets a penalty for embellishment. You don't call that in the Stanley Cup final, in a pivotal moment. You just don't. Like, it's... I want to know the thought process behind that penalty, because it just made no sense. This was a horrendously officiated game, a terribly officiated game. And look, that Ben call at the end of the game, I think that was relatively warranted. Like, I think that, yeah, it was very aggressive the way that he did it. And there's a difference between a puck battle, because Rick Bowness after the game, I was watching the post game stuff, and he was saying, you know, it was just two guys fighting for a puck, and he tried to be really diplomatic about it. But there's a difference between a puck battle and, like, violence, and that was violence. The Braden Point thing, he got slashed in the balls, and he took it like you were getting slashed in the balls. Like, what are you going to do? Like, like you said, the refs made themselves, the officials made themselves part of the game, and that's when sports are at their worst. And it's a shame to see that. And you got to imagine in next game, cups on the line, those whistles, they're going in the pockets and they're not coming.
Oh, yeah. I think exactly what it was a desperation effort to not get involved in the game. They didn't want to call the penalty against Perry, even though it was. So they decided in that snap instance, to just send them both because they didn't want to make a decision that was going to spill into overtime. Then the obvious penalty happens in overtime, and then another even up opportunity comes and they have to take it because that's just, you know, how they've always done it historically. So I think they were trying not to be part of the game and then became part of the game. And then they just took over the game at that point, even though it was a stupid decision from Ben. Okay. We discussed a lot of the bad. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the good, and then we'll circle back to the bad, because I think there's a couple other things we have to discuss. But the good starts in this game with Braden Point.
Yes.
He scored two beautiful goals, two goals that both showed off his immense skill, but were on sort of opposite ends or two different tools from his immense toolbox. Mm-hmm. One was just like, we were worried about this guy, you know, getting back into the playoffs at all in the New York Islanders series because it looked like he had hurt his groin. And he looked faster in that moment than he has at any point in these playoffs when he, you know, dashed through the middle of the ice, a perfect breakout for Tampa. And he was in all alone with so much speed. He almost had too many moves. Like, he was, he had already deked past Khudobin, and he was still deking before he put it in the net, it seemed. That was an amazing goal. And obviously his second goal, the second of the game for the Lightning, basically Matt dropped a perfect bunt, and Khudobin wasn't paying any attention. Just another, like, a perfect example of his hand-eye coordination, perfect example maybe of Khudobin not being quite what he is or what he was earlier in these playoffs. But this game was all about Braden Point. It didn't end with a Braden Point goal, but he certainly set the table for the Lightning in this crucial game.
Yeah, I can't believe that this guy, he's clearly playing with injuries, obviously. It kept him out of playoff games, but I can't believe that this guy is injured. Like, it's remarkable. That first goal that he scored, where he just dashed up the middle of the ice, like you said, that was the fastest. He went, what was it, 38 kilometers per hour, I think? Like, that guy.
I forget what it was. It's always underwhelming, though. But yes.
Okay, so
you
actually
don't need, you don't need the stats for that because it's, you're like, he's going so fast and you see it and you're like, oh, it's, you know, my car goes that fast really, really easily.
But also, he's a human being, and that's a car.
He's a human being.
And at the same time, too, like, when you're approaching, you know, breaking the speed limit in a school zone, that's pretty fast. Greg Wyshynski had a great point on Twitter. He said, you need to put the average, like, you need, when you put that stat up there, you then need to put next to it the average speed of a skater, just so we know how, like, just so you have something to compare it to.
Or his average speed. Like, what, you know, is that his high for the game? Which it probably was, because no one was moving faster than that at any point in the game, it seemed like.
No way. Yeah, and you, like, that would make all the difference in the world, because then you have something to base off of, and you go, oh my god, this is incredible. But yeah, he was absolutely remarkable. He took the game over at certain points. Like, those were two pivotal goals in the game. Two goals that swayed the momentum and kept Tampa in a game that it looked like they might have dropped at a certain point. And he answered the bell. He's been remarkable. Is this the toughest Conn Smythe they're going to award in recent years? Like, I flip-flop between like three or four different dudes every single night.
Save it for the end, Mike. That's our closing. That's our.
I know, but I just wanted to tease it a little bit, you know. Just wanted
it,
to see.
It is. My I guess if I'm, you know, giving away my hand, I may be flip-flopping because Braden Point was so good. Braden Point was so good in this game.
At the top,
I said I wanted to get a little takey, so I'm going to get a little takey.
Okay, hit me. Let's go.
A little bit later. No, we'll get to it a little later.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You got me excited.
I think we should talk about Tyler Seguin a bit. Yes. Though, because we've been all over him for his poor performances, but he was legitimately very good. And tonight, the Yahoo Sports NHL account became a gambling account because our fearless leader on the social media team, I guess, placed a bet. I think it was, you know, it was on his behalf. I don't know if he's using company money, but he placed a bet on Tyler Seguin scoring. And it looked twice like Tyler Seguin had scored, but it came back or at least was credited to someone else. I still think I don't know if Perry touched that first one. But anyway,
it did look like
Tyler Seguin had his moments, right? And he drew that penalty in overtime. He drew two penalties in the game, had two primary assists, both of which were almost his goals. I mean,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rick Bowness made the decision to completely jumble his lines. Like it was the blender times a billion tonight. Like he just, everything was all over the place to start the game. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that he wasn't waiting around for Tyler Seguin anymore. They couldn't just keep running him out there with Ben and Radulov and hoping that first line would do something that could at least compare to what the Lightning first line was doing. So he mixed things up. And I think it was because of Seguin, and Seguin responded. I mean, he was one of their best forwards tonight. He was there for some crucial moments. And in the end, you know, he had those chances on the power play that he drew early in overtime. The goal didn't come from him. The goal still hasn't come. I mean, he's still waiting for it. But I think he stepped up in this game.
Yeah, I hope they did use company money to place that bet, because I'd like to still have a job. That'd be nice, because clearly they didn't get the cash in.
You might not now.
Yeah, I know.
Unless they change it on the official ruling tonight and we just have a, you know, big
party. That'd be great.
Socially distant party.
Exactly. I would love to look like fools here. But yeah, no, this was the first game that I tweeted this in the game, but this is the first game that I've noticed Tyler Seguin in the series. Like, he was doing things. He was in those. As much as I hate the cliched term in a broadcast where it's like, oh, if you're not scoring, you got to go to those dirty areas. I'm like, okay, whatever, man. Like, what does that even mean? But he did go to those dirty areas now. He was in front of the net. He was in the middle of plays all the time. Every time there was a stoppage and a scramble in front of the net, you could see him at the bottom of the pile at the end of the whistle. He was doing things, which is good, which is more than I could say, at least offensively, because he does, you know, he's blocking shots and winning battles, and that's great, but he's paid to be an offensive player. He was doing things offensively. And look, getting those two primary assists is great. He's got double-digit points now, so that's a big milestone for him. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really unfortunate that one of those two goals wasn't credited to him, because it seemed like on both of them, the second one didn't go off him, but I think they should probably credit the first one. I want to ask, real quick aside, because it reminded me of something, why did the broadcast focus so much on Corey Perry tonight? Was it Corey Perry, like, Pride Night or something?
We saw, it was ridiculous. I don't know how many times we saw him twirl his stick on that split screen with the three of them. Like, it was actually overload. Like, I get it. We're running out of ideas here. It's late. That was a cool find, I guess.
It's the Stanley Cup final. How can you be running out of things?
And that was a great game. But they kept going to it.
Why?
And over and over again. I have no idea why.
There was one point in a throw to break where he goes, and coming up in the next intermission, we'll have another Corey Perry story. I'm like, do we need another Corey Perry story? Like, one.
We got an intermission interview with Perry.
I
kind of regretted, like, coming clean that I am a Corey Perry fan after seeing him hook on to Braden Point's balls and him get away with it, really. But, you know, I'm that was another take. As you mentioned, I'm takey tonight. And I'm a Corey Perry guy, because I just think he makes the game more exciting, and he made this game better. Like, there's no – like, you know what didn't make the game better were those split screens and him twirling a stick over and over again. But him, you know, being a greaseball and scoring a goal and just being in the action in an entertaining game, he ups the entertainment value. But, again, I don't think we need to see his warm-up, you know, at every whistle.
Yeah, when Corey Perry's not, like, crippling guys, he's an entertaining hockey player. He just steps over that line a bunch. But, no, he's built for playoff hockey. Thank God this game happened. Because it just was seeming like every game was so predictable and kind of plodding, and this game came away, and it was just great.
Is there anything else? I mentioned that we're going to get to the bad, but we kind of touched the bad.
Well, does Dallas have a chance? Like, they're playing for their
lives.
They
have been bad.
Tomorrow.
They have been bad. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that qualifies as bad. I don't know. It's tough to say, because I was thinking during this game the whole time that, okay, they're going to have to win a game with, you know, Khudobin being bad at this point, because they're not the better team. Mm-hmm. And Khudobin's not in his zone where he's going to steal four games. They're going to have to win a game where Khudobin's bad. And that was the game where Khudobin, like, if they have any chance of winning the series, like, you got to win one that you don't deserve because they're not the better team. And this seemed like it had to be the one, because they were hanging in it for so long. They had their opportunities. They had a 4-on-3 in overtime. They didn't cash it. So now we have to run it back 24 hours later, you know, Tampa's got all this momentum. We've seen how, you know, something can happen, can affect their mentality. Stamkos coming back, all of a sudden they look like a team that hasn't been in a bubble for the last 2 months, hasn't played every other night for the last 2 months, hasn't seen their, you know, haven't not seen their families. Like, it just changed the way that they presented themselves. And now with this opportunity to win the cup and their body language compared to Dallas's body language, like, it doesn't seem like, it just doesn't seem like Dallas has a chance. Now we've seen different, you know, scenarios in which it seems like logic is basically defied by what happened. So it wouldn't be a surprise, I guess. I mean, it'd be a surprise, but it wouldn't be like the craziest thing ever if Dallas was able to squeak out a win in game five and extend the series and bring it to Monday night. But it just seems like this is already etched into the cup. If I'm going to use a terrible, metaphor or whatever there.
Baby. Go with it.
But it's, you know, it might not happen tomorrow night, but it seems like this is Tampa's, and it seems like it's going to be really difficult to get up for a game and, you know, to try and prolong a series that looks like it's over at this point.
To your point about how this was supposed to be the game that you know, they didn't deserve to win, but they win anyway. This was also the worst that Vasilevsky's looked, and they didn't take advantage of that.
Vasilevsky has not been great, which is pretty crazy that Tampa is comfortably ahead in this series where Vasilevsky hasn't really looked good at all.
And this was the shakiest he's been, and they didn't take advantage of that. I got this weird feeling that they're going to pull it out tomorrow. These things happen, man. These games, you think that every single domino is set to fall in Tampa's favor. You think that they're ready to essentially just roll these guys over. Everything is the table set for them. And yet hockey is just this game where when you think it's going to go one way, when you think it's going to zig, it zags. And look, Khudobin's never played this kind of workload before. He's going to have to go on a back-to-back. He already looked so gassed in this game. Hockey logic says he's going to put on a ridiculous – he's going to find the fountain of youth tomorrow. They're losing Rupe Hintz. All right, cool. Joel Kiviranta, time to another hat trick. All of what I'm saying here doesn't have any statistical merit to it whatsoever. This is pure gut check and me being takey if we're going to be that way. But I just have a feeling that somehow with their backs against the wall, with the short turnaround time, with the exhaustion, it'll just be pure adrenaline. I have a feeling that Dallas is going to – I think they might pull it out. I don't think they're going to win the series. Let me get that straight. Like, it's definitely Tampa's to win here. But I feel like they're going to prolong it a bit. I don't think the season's going to be over tomorrow. But then again, maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe I don't want to let hockey go at this point because it's been so much fun since this came back.
And these conversations that we're having post-game, just spectacular. Dallas 0-2 in back-to-backs in the playoffs. Tampa Bay's only played one back-to-back game. The back-to-back in that case was against Boston. They won 7-1 in the back-to-back scenario. So, again, that is, you know, that means nothing. The sample could not be smaller. But another reason to think.
It literally couldn't.
Another reason that logic says the Lightning might be there. But, you know, as you mentioned, it doesn't have to end tomorrow night. Let's wrap it up with the Conn Smythe check. This is, you know, where we're supposed to finally butt heads because we've been all in on the Victor Hedman train. Yeah. But after Braden Point's performance, I mean, we got to overreact a little bit. So I got Braden Point now. He now leads the, he still leads the postseason in goals. We're up to 13, 30 points now. Again, as I mentioned in a previous Braden Point discussion, basically if he's in the lineup, the Tampa Bay Lightning are winning. I'm falling short of, you know, ways to push for him instead of Victor Hedman. But he's just been their offensive engine. He's been the guy. He's been spectacular. And every time we talk about Braden Point, Mitch Marner always comes up.
To stoke
the fire a little bit more, Braden Point winning the Conn Smythe would get everybody's attention. So I say by a hair, Braden Point was still lots of room for Victor Hedman to come through with one more game.
You know what? I think with the three guys, with the Kucherov, the Point, and the Hedman nominees here, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I'm still on Team Hedman just because I think he's so vital to that team. But then you look at Braden Point, and I think the biggest conversation they could have, aside from all the points, is that, you know, pun intended, is that look what happened when they took him out of the lineup. Tampa right now looks like an unstoppable juggernaut. They're a team that can respond to in any situation, that can play any style of hockey and weather any storm. But they take Braden Point out of the lineup. And they looked like a neutered team that couldn't even, you know, go toe-to-toe with the New York Islanders, who are a neutered team in themselves. So he's so important to their identity as a team. But at the same time, like Victor Hedman, he helped set up that the game winner. He's just so important. Like, he's just so important to the team. If you take him out of that lineup, like, what do they do? Like, he just does everything for them. I got to stay on Hedman Island, but only for content, I think, because either I'm not going to be disappointed. In fact, Twitter will explode with Leafs takes once Braden Point, if Braden Point wins the Conn Smythe. So that will be fun. But man, for me, it's still Hedman.
15-3. The Lightning are 15-3 with Braden Point in the lineup.
That's insane.
Since the actual playoffs began. Also, Victor Hedman, I think he gave up his 7th and 8th goals at even strength today. You know, that's not much over the course of how many games they've played.
So what,
but Victor
24?
Hedman picked up a couple minuses today, and that's good enough to put Braden Point ahead for me. So,
all right, so we're nitpicking
right now.
Cool.
Point and Hedman, and it all comes down to one more victory, and then we'll make our decision. I guess we'll actually know who already won it by the time we talk.
No, we'll make our decisions.
But we'll,
the league
we'll,
can do what they
we
want.
Will,
we'll make
we
our
will
decisions.
Nitpick. We will nitpick, and yeah. We will hand out the real Conn Smythe Trophy winner when the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, because we're both feeling that right now. And we're not afraid to make hot takes today. I don't think there's anything, you know, you don't have to get takey if you're the Lightning. I mean, you're just in complete control. You got everything figured out. They lead 3-1 in the series. They can close things out in game 5. We'll be back to talk about it. Mike, I'll let you sign it off.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.